WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In the first half of our show, we discussed the life and music of the 17th century Italian nun Lucrezia Vizzana. My guest, Deborah Roberts, is a member of Musica Secreta, the vocal group which revives Vizzana's work on a new CD. Musica Secreta specializes in early music that was originally performed by women. Roberts is also a longtime member of the internationally renowned early music group, the Tala Scholars. The new CD, Lucrezia Vizzana, is the first complete recording of Vizzana's compositions, which were first published in 1623. Deborah Roberts, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello.
I'd like you to choose a selection from your new CD and tell us about it and why you've chosen it.
Right, well, firstly, Protector Noster, which is the one piece that's actually in four parts, using all the four singers. It's probably not the very greatest piece of music. I find it quite fascinating, though, that this is a piece of music written for a convent, but originally scored for soprano, alto, tenor and bass. Now, we're pretty sure that the nuns couldn't have sung as low as that. So what we've done is put it up a fifth in pitch, which makes a soprano part fairly high, but actually does also mean that the bass part is still quite low, though it can just about be sung by a woman's voice. I think it gives the full breadth of what a female vocal ensemble can actually achieve. And most importantly, this is something which goes beyond just this disc and this particular nun composer. It gives a little insight to the range of music that could have been performed in convents in the 16th and 17th centuries.
Why do you think that Vizzana was writing for a bass voice if she was only writing for women in the convent?
Because I think, very pragmatically, she was aware that this was, after all, music that was published and therefore could be sold and bought. And I think that all nun composers wrote music using all four voices because they knew then that it could be used in other places than just convents. And they had a passion to have their voices heard. Their, not just their physical voices, but their metaphorical voices through their music would be heard and performed elsewhere.
This is the group Musica Secreta, featuring my guest Deborah Roberts. That's Musica Secreta, performing music by the 17th century nun Lucrezia Vizzana. My guest is Deborah Roberts of the ensemble. When you found out about Lucrezia Vizzana's music, why did you want to perform it?
Because I thought it was extraordinarily beautiful and unusual.
What's unusual about it?
She's obviously not a first-rate professional composer. She's somebody who would have picked up an education in any way that she possibly could. And yet there's such deep integrity in the music. There's something so personal about it that the appeal, I think, is enormous. And I've been very pleased at how many people agree with me, to be honest.
Now, how does this compare to the rest of your repertoire in early music?
Well, obviously, the sort of music I sing quite a lot of the time is 16th century mixed voice polyphony, because I've for 20 years been a member of the Tallis Scholars. But in terms of the 17th century music I sing, it's very much consistent with it. I actually do work quite a lot with nuns' music and with 17th century female composers such as Barbara Strozzi. I've had an interest in this for a good many years.
Is there much music composed by women of this period where the women weren't nuns?
Not a lot. In fact, most of them were nuns that actually had the time to compose, because if you think about it, quite a large number of women were nuns, far, far more than we would perhaps realise. If a woman got married, she usually gave up her music as soon as she was married, whether she was a singer or composer. She would be busy having babies and probably die quite early. Barbara Strozzi, who is the most successful and famous woman composer of the 17th century, I think owed her position to the fact that she never did marry. She was a professional, fully professional composer, supported herself entirely by the publications of her works.
And for anyone else who wanted to publish, better to be a nun.
Well, yes, quite likely. I think it was absolutely unheard of for a married woman to continue her music.
Mm-hmm. Now, the music that you're singing that was composed by the 17th century nun, Lucrezia Vitana, was written for women's voices. Is it hard to find music of the period that is written for women?
Well, I used to think so, but now I'm realizing that so much of music we've traditionally thought was written for either men's voices or mixed men's and boys' voices was probably performed by nuns anyway. They made their own arrangements. And I've started to do that, to take well-known music by Palestrina, Lazarus, Victoria, and arrange it the way that the nuns did. So in a way, it's turned the whole argument around on itself.
Let me ask you to choose a selection from your new CD that illustrates what you find particularly beautiful about women's voices harmonizing together.
Well, the very first one that you just played, Protector Noster, there you've got the very high soprano line, which has to be fairly clear and straight. Then you've got, that would have been the original soprano line. As I said, we've put it up a fifth, so it's actually quite high now. Then the original alto line becomes another lower soprano line. You've got a mezzo-soprano singing the tenor line, and you've got a really deep alto singing the bass. That's fairly widely spread, and yet I think it fuses together really beautifully. Now, on the other hand, the sound we more associate as being luscious female voices blending together is movement in thirds with parts that are quite close together, which you get in all the other duets. So you've got both types here in this collection.
Do you want to choose a duet for us to listen to?
Well, I was just thinking that one of the duets for two sopranos, Amor Christum, which is effectively a love song to Christ.
Anything else you want to say about it or about the harmonies?
Well, I think the text is really quite extraordinary. I love Christ, whose bedchamber I shall enter. I mean, it's really quite graphically almost like a wedding song. Well, enter as and leave as a virgin, however. But I think what I find fascinating about these particular pieces is that they're using all the kind of tricks of the trade that would have been used by composers for secular love songs, and here they are turned around into sacred pieces.
Are you talking about lyrically or musically?
Both.
Uh-huh.
Both.
Okay. Well, let's listen to it. And this is from the new CD of music of the 17th century nun Lucrezia Vitana, performed for us by Musica Secreta, featuring my guest Deborah Roberts.
Thank you.
Music from the new CD of compositions by the 17th century nun Lucrezia Vizzana, performed by Musica Secreta, featuring my guest, soprano Deborah Roberts. Deborah, which soprano were you on that recording?
I'm one of them, yes, and Tessa Bonner the other. It's hard to say which one because the parts, they
alternate,
swap around.
Right.
Yes. They're both equal in height and they cross over quite a lot, that lovely sort of sound of thirds moving in parallel thirds together.
Let's take a break here and then we'll talk more with Deborah Roberts. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Deborah Roberts. Her vocal group, Musica Secreta, performs on the new CD Lucrezia Vizzana, Songs of Ecstasy and Devotion from a 17th century Italian convent. Now, the lyrics in the songs that you're singing by Lucrezia Vizzana are all very religious lyrics, and I'm wondering if you think about that as you're singing it, if you think of yourself as singing this in a secular way or in a religious way.
I myself am not religious, not in a traditionally Catholic or Christian way necessarily. However, I would say that I have absolutely no problem at all entering in to the spirit in which I feel Vizzana wrote these pieces. I hope that doesn't sound contradictory. I can understand spirituality very, very deeply, and it's music that moves me because I can feel something of what she felt, even though I might feel it for slightly different things. My life has been very different to hers. It still speaks to me, however.
Now tell me why you're drawn to this period, to music of the 16th and 17th centuries.
I think I heard my first piece of 16th century music when I was about 13, and I only heard about three bars of it and thought, that's for me. I can't say why, it just appealed immediately. It doesn't mean I don't love a lot of later romantic and early 20th century, even contemporary music, but that's the music that I just feel so drawn to it. I feel I can understand it, get into it.
I'd say that the music we've been listening to has almost like an austere beauty to it.
Yes, I would say it's more, I don't even like the word controlled. It's very hard to find the right word to describe it. There's something, it's not extravagant in one sense, and yet it can be. It can be very extravagant in what it's portraying, but it doesn't always have to do so with a great big noise.
Is there a certain performance style of the period that you keep in mind when you perform this music?
Well, I think one does, as a musician, for any period of music, you do consider what the performance practice of that time would have been. You also consider what the conditions might have been like. But on the other hand, and at the same time, I very firmly believe that we're now talking to modern audiences, so I'm not interested in trying to make it sound necessarily as it would have done then, even if that were possible.
Do you find this music particularly difficult to sing, the music of Vizzana?
No, not really, no. It's actually quite pleasantly easy to sing, in a sense. It's not over-demanding technically. What I think the challenge is to get inside those texts and get inside what she was actually trying to express. But that is so much the job of the singer of 17th century music, because the texts were so important then.
Well, how do you try to do that?
Well, I always start a piece by looking at the text first, make sure I understand absolutely every word of it. Before I sing a note of it, I will have spoken the text through several times. I will have actually performed the text. Then I start to put the notes to it and see how they work together.
Now, I want to get back to the idea of music written for women from this period. As a singer of early music, I think some of the women's parts that you sing are parts that were actually written for boys or for castrati.
Oh, indeed, yes. I'm beginning to realise they may well have also been sung by women, mm-hmm. hidden away in their convents. But yes, I mean, I must admit, for so many years, one of the things that used to madden me about reviews of Talis Gola's concerts would be when either the reviewer said, gosh, they're so good, they sound almost as good as boys, or why doesn't the Talis Gola's use boys instead? And you think, yes, you could imagine taking a troupe of boys on a 2 or 3 week tour of the States with flights every day and a concert every night. I don't think that would work. No,
no one suggested castrati, did they?
Well, I don't think we tend to go in for that anymore. I think the what has happened too is that there's been a rise in falsetto singing. And that's another, I think, fallacy that there was so much falsetto singing in the past. I don't think there was as much as we have been led to believe. That's slightly irrelevant, though, I think. But as for us singing parts that were written for boys' voices, yes, I think that's certainly true. It's very nice to get to sing music that was definitely written for women to sing.
What's the difference to you between singing a part that was written for a woman and singing a part that was written for a boy?
I don't approach it any differently. I use the same basic technique, which is, strictly speaking, a modern vocal technique, to sing it. It's just that very often, particularly with a really fine composer like Barbara Strozzi, the music just feels great on the voice. The phrases are the right kind of length. In fact, actually, it's more interesting to compare music written for sopranos with that written for castrati, because we sing, with Musicus Creator, we do quite a lot of carissimi, a Roman composer who was writing mostly for castrati. The phrases are always just that little bit too long. And from what we know of the castrati, they did have these enormously developed barrel chests, and they could go on forever without breathing. A little bit like seals, really. I think they looked like them, too.
So it was. It requires a much more kind of athletic approach to breathing?
I think so, yes.
Has recording music by nuns made you think a lot about what your life would have been like as a female singer if you'd lived in a much earlier century?
Oh, yes. Well, of course. It has made me wonder quite a lot. In fact, it's made me very privileged, because I can be sitting there working on the editions for the music, and then I can just walk outside into the sunshine of my garden, look at the South Downs opposite me, go and stroke the cat, and come back in and make a cup of coffee. It's lovely.
Be in and the world.
Be in the world with my nice Italian man. Yes.
And you can perform and you can be seen, which of course Lucrezia Vizzana could not.
That's right. They could perform, but they weren't supposed to be seen. I think quite a few people did get sneak views every now and then, but mostly they were heard. I've often thought just what effect those unseen voices must have been on people hearing them, given that nowadays it's a bit lost on us because we're so used to recordings, so that we often do hear music without seeing people. We don't think anything about hearing music coming out of a loudspeaker, but it must have been quite extraordinary in the 17th century to sit in one of these outer churches and just hear these voices drifting through bars and windows high up in the church.
Do you think it would have added a lot of mystery?
Oh, yes. These were angels singing from heaven, weren't they? Singing for the souls of the people. This just was their job, to pray and sing for everybody else. They were the sacrificial victims in many ways, but quite a few of them. They made a life for themselves. It might have, in some cases, been a better life than they might have got outside.
Well, Deborah Roberts, thank you for reviving this music. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much.
Deborah Roberts sings with the Tala Scholars and with Musica Secreta. Musica Secreta's new CD is called Lucrezia Vizzana, Songs of Ecstasy and Devotion from a 17th Century Italian Convent.
In fun.
This is Fresh Air.